Hello and welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jennifer.
Today, the episode is on making the transition from agent to broker. And we have a guest in-house with us today, Scott Tice. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you very much.
Scott has been an agent, a licensed agent in Missouri for over 7 years now. He immediately got his Kansas license right after getting his Missouri license, and then 3 years later got his broker's license as well. 2 years after getting his broker's license, he became partner in Stutzman's Action Realty in Nevada, Missouri. For the past 4 years, he's had over 50 transactions in small town Missouri. Scott, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I feel wonderful. I'm always blessed, but I am very blessed to be here.
I should just make a correction. Mm-hmm. When you said he had 50 transactions, I think what he's trying to say, he does over 50 transactions per year. And, you know, so there's a difference in 50 transactions and how many transactions you're doing per year.
That's correct.
So I just want to clarify
that. Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
But just, Scott, I think one of the things that so many people, you know, when they're listening to this podcast, they're wanting to understand, okay, so where do I start? How do I start? And so, you know, because I know you so well, and I know where you were in your life, you know, like when you started.
Sure.
So can you just kind of like tell the listeners, you know, and take the time, I mean, to explain like where you were in your life and what was going on, and then what became a why for you to do it?
Absolutely. No problem at all. We always had someone at home in our family. My wife, her name's Angie. We've been married 25 years. We've always been, yes, absolutely. We had three children, and I started out as a manager in a beef plant in Dodge City, Kansas. When we moved to Missouri, I became the stay-at-home dad.
Right.
And my wife, who is a RN, and she's always worked in the OB department as RN, she did the work and I did everything else. And from that point, I felt it really fit me. I was always the coach of the basketball teams and the volleyball teams. And I was always the one who was in the parent, the parent conferences and everything like that. But we reached a point.
Were you a room mother?
I was a room father. Thank you very much. And we deserve to have our place. No, but seriously, as they grow older, you know, kids have their phases. You go from the plastic phase to the wheel phase to the electronic phase. And as things are getting more and more expensive with children, you start to realize, okay, now it's high school and next is going to be college. And now what? And so what I was at was the place where I knew we'd always been able to take care of ourselves, but it was going to change.
Yeah.
And I am literally what I am because Jennifer, who we've known each other so many years, saw something in me I didn't see in myself. And she told me 20 years ago, you know what? This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you are built to do. And I always had something else. I was always a musician. I taught guitar. I was like,
incredible.
Amazing.
Musician. He's an artist.
Yeah.
True artist.
Absolutely.
And that was it. That always felt like that was who I was.
Right.
And it was like, I'm not smart enough to do that. No, what you do, there's no way that could work. And then we moved from one home to another in 10 years. And in that, after that 10-year period, you, of course, were happy to sell our home and find us our forever home,
right,
of which we're still forever grateful. And you, at the end of that transaction, you said it again, and you're like, okay, I got to say this, because if I don't, I think I'd be doing a disservice to your family.
You'd have me over for dinner that night.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you said, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And I took it to heart. Mm-hmm. And I told Angie, I said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to see about this. I'm going to talk to her about it. And of course, I was ready.
Right.
And you have to be ready for that move. What I would tell anyone that's getting ready to see if this is for them, if this career, if this life fits what they're going to do, don't be afraid that when you first start it, you don't feel like a real estate agent, because right. you aren't. It's there's a transition between, okay, I'm going to try to make this work, but I also do this, and right. I do, because it's not what you feel like. You'll reach this transition point where you feel, I'm a real estate agent.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what I am. And
now let me ask, since I wasn't in your lives at that time,
sure.
did you go in and shadow Jennifer? Did you just go in and have a sit down with her, or how was that?
I spent time with Jennifer where she gave me fake scenarios, fake clients,
okay.
fake transactions. And I got to practice all of my paperwork.
Was this before or after you passed the test?
This was after I passed the test.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was an agent without a license.
When he decided that he was going to get his license, though, I mean, like, he had called and made an appointment to just visit with me. I had no idea what it was about. It was okay. a Saturday morning.
That's right.
And I was like, Scott, all I have available is like 11 o'clock on Saturday morning or 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And you're like, okay, I'll take 11. And so he came in and he came in my back door of the office. I was in the conference room and he came in and I was at one end of the conference room table and he went to the other and just like had this profound stand, you know, and he's just like, I'm going to get my real estate license.
I'm ready.
Like, woohoo.
I'm ready.
I like it.
So it was awesome.
I like it. Okay. So I love the fact, though, that you said that when you first, you know, essentially become an agent, you may not necessarily feel like it. And so for you, when was that transition from, you know, maybe having your license, but not necessarily feeling like you were an agent yet? Or did that happen pretty quick for you?
It did not,
okay.
Because there were already so many things in the fire. I still taught guitar. I had 24 guitar students each week.
Wow.
Yes.
And so
that's a lot.
It was a lot of the evenings. It was a lot of that time.
And early mornings too.
That's right. That's right. And so as you're transitioning from one thing to another, but you have your comfort level to where you've always been, as I started to take on a client, or I started to take on a scenario, Jennifer would tell you, I think what really shot me out of a cannon was in the first 1 year I did real estate, I probably heard more times from people that have done this business or had homes for 20, 30 years, I've never seen that happen before.
That's true.
I've never experienced that before. So I learned the hard way so many things that are so outside the box. And it was at the end of that year, I had the confidence of an agent that's probably been an agent for several years.
It's very true, though. When Scott got into the business, I mean, he literally dove in. I mean, it was just like, it was a pure dive with, you know, like when you're diving into a pool, it's like, okay, well, how deep is the water? He had no earthly idea how deep the water was, but he took the deepest dive he could possibly take. Yeah. And so, I mean, he didn't care what the deal was. He was going to do it. It didn't matter how small it was. It didn't matter how reckless the situation was. He's like, I'm going to figure it out. And so that was the true thing about Scott when he got in it. He's like, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn everything I can learn.
You know, but also those comments just show you how, even for Jennifer, who's been in it, it'll be 32 years this year, right?
Yeah.
We've been saying 31 for a while, but it's 32 years coming up. That even she runs into situations that hasn't ever come up before.
Of course.
Because that's real estate.
It's every day.
It's a fluid situation.
That's
it seems
right.
like always.
So. And that's still always the case. But it gave me this confidence that I've always loved to be a troubleshooter. Mm-hmm. I've always loved to be able to look outside the box for the way that you're going to be able to remedy a situation. And you've got to be able to attack that. You've got to be able to hold that online.
Buyers and sellers, no matter what.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell me, Scott, on more of a personal level, what has it meant for you to become, before we even get into broker,
sure.
What has it meant for you to become a real estate agent?
Well, of course, Jennifer was right. And it is what I was made to do.
I love having another man in my life honestly say, did you guys hear that? Oh, my goodness. Another man in my life saying Jennifer was right. My dad would say that. I don't know if Trent would say it, but Jacob, can you say that?
Not at this moment.
Yeah, he's not going to.
This is about but Scott right now.
I am telling you, from everything that I'd experienced in life, and I'm 50 years old this year.
We just
50.
Celebrated your birthday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And everything I'd done led me to this end. I love everything that goes into this. I've always been a leader. I've always been someone people look to be able to be the solver of the problem. I've always loved to help. I've always loved to teach. I've always felt like I always get the best return when I'm doing something for others. And it just encompassed all of that. And for some reason, people always have thought I have it figured out. If I was on like a high performance team building seminar or something like that, you have 30 people in a room and you're supposed to be doing something. All of a sudden, everybody looked to me and that's where the solution was going to come from. I don't know how that's always been the case, but it always was. And so I had always felt so comfortable with a client, even in those young years, looking at me like, what do we do?
Yeah.
How do we make this work? And I've always prided myself on there is no pet peeve in real estate, in what we do, that someone doesn't have the right to know and understand. And I love to make sure that my clients understand every single thing that happens. You're never going to sign anything that you don't understand. But more than that, you're going to know exactly what's going through my head.
Well, and I think you really hit the nail on the head as far as wanting to help people, because I think that's why you and Jennifer's business interests align so well.
Yes.
Because you guys are so aligned in that avenue. And I've got to think, as you were talking there, it made me think of, you know, like a first-time home buyer or something like that. There's got to be such great satisfaction being able to help somebody like that and know that you're doing them a service, that there's a lot of agents in your market for sure, mm-hmm. that would never take care of them the way they're being taken care of. And so I've got to think that's got to feel really good to take care of younger homeowners or homeowners to be, teaching them, coaching them what they need to do. So I've got to think that's right up your alley.
Has a little lady that would probably have never been able to have bought a house in her lifetime that Scott worked with, and she did not have hardly anything. And at Christmas, I want to say it was Christmas, I could be wrong, but she brought out these mints.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those little mints?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she brought you like a case of them.
She brought us every year. She'd bring me either gummy bears, gummy worms, or she'd bring the peppermints for the office.
Yeah.
And one thing that we're able to do where I live and where we are at with Stutzman's, we serve, about eight to nine counties that we serve.
Including both Kansas and Missouri.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the main part of those, seven of those counties are rural development. And so you're going to have opportunities and type of loan setups that you can help people that don't have the reserve to buy a large property. Our average sale in our area is about $140,000. And that was last year.
Right.
And at that time, it was probably 110 mm-hmm. to 100. And right. This lady, to give you an idea, we bought a $36,000 home with a USDA loan, which is a government loan.
It was 2019, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
make
indeed.
That clear.
But in order to buy a home in the range that she could afford a payment and make it go government was a very difficult trip.
Yes, it was.
And we pulled it off.
Right.
But you know what? Because with the setup that we did, and we treated that just like any $400,000 home or $500,000 property that was going to be sold. She had two granddaughters that bought homes through us in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
She had a sister that bought a home through us in the next year.
Yes.
Real estate is not trivial to a client. It doesn't matter if it's $50,000. It doesn't matter if it's $500. It is the largest investment of their life.
Yeah.
And it can't be looked at as trivial. And people feel that genuine nature when you give it to them.
Right.
And if it's fake, they know that too.
Sure.
And that's what's going to make you successful in this business, is being genuine in your reasoning for being an agent.
So with that being said, we know that how important relationships are. And I know we'll talk about that a little bit later, maybe in another podcast. But, you know, so here you are, you come in, you've only been in real estate maybe a short period of time, and then you jump in and you want to get your Kansas license. I mean, was there any time that you felt like, you know, in that, you know, as you know, maybe your first 3 years that you thought, okay, what am I doing? You know, am I headed in the right direction? You know, because all I could see from my, you know, when I'm standing back and I'm watching everything you're doing, I just saw you, you know, double your sales, you know, like the next year. And then the next year after that, double it again. But it's still in your head at that time, you still didn't see the trajectory maybe entirely because you were like, I'm not doing enough. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
So you know, speak to these agents that, you know, are definitely climbing, but for some reason they don't always, I guess I'll say it like this, they don't always see. So they do need to have someone, don't they?
They need to have a broker that holds them accountable, like I did. And not accountable in a bad way.
Right.
I mean, you gave us goals that every year I was like, oh God, I did good. So she's going to do this again. She's going to put this ridiculous goal that is impossible to reach. And what happened the next year? I reached it.
And you still had sanity. I mean, you still went on all your family vacations. You
enjoyed
your family.
That's right.
I mean, it didn't take away from your guitar lessons. It didn't take away from your family. It didn't take away from things, right?
That's absolutely true. And it's because you have to be able to hold the balance. And when you first start, and like you said, you dive into the deep end of the pool, balance is difficult.
Yes, it is.
You have to find that place where you haven't let everything go. But I'm blessed enough to have an amazing wife that knew my phone is going to be ringing. And, you know, it was never a thing. It was never a problem. She knew, yep, this is what we're doing.
You know
we're
going
to make it to that point.
You guys hit on a point. So we were at the Keller Williams family reunion last week, and I was sitting in a seminar. Jennifer and I tried to separate ourselves and find different seminars so she wasn't in this one with me. But the person that was on the panel was talking about being, you know, a very driven broker. And so every year they'd sit down with the same agent, like, okay, you did great in sales. Okay, let's, you know, jump it up to this level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third year, hey, you did great in sales. All right, let's jump it up to this level. And then, you know, that third year for this particular situation, the agent was finally like, well, I don't want to do that. You know, that's not. And so I think that's one thing that Jennifer and I know that you're doing now as a broker do so well is you know your people. you know them so well. Yes. So, you know, that second or third year, you know where you're at in those goal setting meetings, you know, to where you're not pushing them beyond where they want to be. And I think that's really key in what you guys do and what I've been so impressed with.
Well, I think it's really important that when you're having a one-on-one, you know, with your agent, I think that you're asking them about their balance. I always asked in every meeting, you know, how is Angie? How are the kids? Are you going to every track meet? Are you going to every tennis meet?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that was so important to Scott. I had to make sure that he was getting it in and doing those things too.
It was, but track meets suck.
Yeah.
As a parent, when you're going to sit a bleacher for 5 hours because your kid had something at the beginning, and then they are 5 hours later for 15 seconds.
The great thing, though, is you could be on your phone, you could be working, and they don't even know it. They're
That's
not on
true.
The field. They just
true.
Think you're there supporting
and that absolutely happened. But
okay.
You put a smile on.
It is time for station identification. This is your Real Estate Experts podcast channel. You can find us anywhere you find your podcasts. The Roofing Experts of Northwest Arkansas are your go-to experts for roofing. It's in the name, experts. If you want a roofing expert, call the Roofing Experts. We stand behind our work so you can stand under it. This is the Real Estate Experts podcast. So, Scott, we have found out a lot of things about you personally, about you as an agent. Now let's talk about the transition to broker.
Yes.
So what would you say were the challenges so you had your broker's license, even though you weren't acting as the title?
It's a broker associate. So as a broker associate, any agent who just wants that deeper recognition, the deeper training, is able to hold a broker associate license underneath your managing broker, underneath a principal broker.
And so what I would like to dive into is what was the challenges that you faced getting to the executive broker?
I would say the biggest challenge was understanding the interworking of a brokerage.
Okay.
And so really for me, I was so pumped up to be able to have agents to train, to be able to have the ones to shadow me, to be able to have the time I could spend with them. Each one of the last 2 years, I've had a high school student that has been coming to the office for their work program and been spending time with them each week.
And one of them is your son.
One of them was my son, who as a freshman in college, just passed his real estate exam.
That's awesome.
So very, very cool. And there's another one that I've had all this year, and she's doing so great. And she's gone on listing appointments with me. She's gone to homes when I've been showing them. And, you know, we spent so much time talking about the things that she's going to be both seeing on her test and then the difference between what she's going to be seeing in the field and dealing with. And so that was never the problem as far as being able to be there and know I was going to be helping, because I've always loved that.
You know, this is one of the things I love about you, Scott, is you. I ask you about a challenge and you started talking about all the amazing things about it.
That's true.
You did not go into the problems.
That's true.
That you faced.
Because
so
he doesn't look at
that's right
thing
that's
as
true.
A problem.
Absolutely. That's what
that's,
I love about it.
That's true. If there is a problem, if the problem was, okay, how do we do the books? How do we pay these people out? How does money make sense when it comes to the next level, which I've never known, I've never understood? That's a problem. You solve it.
Yeah.
So it's really easy for me to say. I can't tell you any of the big problems that I went through, because I always had the backup and I always had the experience on my side
for
whoever was taking me through that next step. And I've always held, I guess you say, a self-confidence that I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's awesome.
And once I get it, I'm going to know it.
That's awesome.
But I love the position of, I think the biggest thing was being able to feel comfortable letting my personal business go. Because I truly have, I mean, I did a lot of transactions last year. I've done a lot already this year, but I'm not looking for business. There's a difference between making sure your pipeline's filled and making sure that you have this down the road and this down the road. Anything that Jennifer and I together, mm-hmm. we put out there and we pay for lead programs, lead generation, our AI system that we use, it's all to try to make our agents successful.
Yeah. That's so true.
It's not for me.
It's very important. It's because we're going to get clients that want to work with us
that's
just
right.
because of our personalities or, you know, mine
and our past.
Past that's clients right. and people that have been referred to us. And then the agents, you know, especially the new ones,
yes.
you know, people don't know them yet. They don't know how amazing they are.
That's
and
right.
So, but one of the things that, you know, Scott is really good at is training and culture.
Yes.
Wait, so, I mean, because, you know, going from an agent, you know, to a broker, I mean, you knew the culture that we had at Stutzman's. And, you know, I would say, so what do you think the difference was with that transition from becoming a broker that was over the agents? Because he actually was technically and still is, you know, the broker of Kansas and mm-hmm. the leader,
right.
you know, taking care of everything on the Kansas side. And so, you know, speak to us a little bit about just making sure that we've got the culture, you know, in line, because that's what attracts people.
Culture is what's built over time. Mm-hmm. And when you are a new agent and you're searching out, you have a license. There'll be people coming at you. They're going to be, you have to find where you fit. That's a part of being an agent, because as an agent, you never stand on your own. You are part of a larger whole. It's the brokerage. And then you as an agent, I knew that was never an issue, because where I went was a culture that was not just proven, but fit me. It was easy when I stepped into the role as broker to say, this is the way we do things, because when you already have bought in to what was empowered to you for the ownership of the establishment that you were part of, it's easy because it's still ours. It's always us.
Well, and
it's not mine. It's different than what
right,
was there.
Right.
And I think, you know, in any business too, though, if you have anybody that's lasted 6 months even mm-hmm. in your business, let's say they're brand new, but they've been there for 6 months. They've experienced the culture. And if they're going to stay, then they know that they like the culture. And so let's say they make an error or they have a misstep, and then you have a little coaching session with them.
Yes.
I think that they're more apt to accept that coaching because they do see the culture, they do want that, and they're more open to it. And so I think that's probably an opportunity as a broker, you know, on a daily basis, because it's what's the saying? You allow what you expect, or I can't remember now the saying, but you basically, if you're allowing it, then it's you're endorsing it.
Oh, sure.
And so
that makes sense.
If you're allowing certain behavior and you're okay with it, that's great. But if you're allowing certain behavior and it's not good, then obviously it starts to change the culture.
You know, that's one thing I really do love about Scott, because there was times where that something would happen in the office and I wouldn't be there, and he would immediately go to someone and go, come back to my office. and then kind of go, just for the record, Jennifer would never allow that type of language. Don't talk that way.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
in the office, outside yeah. the office, blah, 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 blah. You yeah. know, this is not the atmosphere that we want. We don't want that type of talk in our office.
That's right. And when you talk about our culture in a nutshell is a constant battle to try to change the culture of real estate,
Yes.
Because from the 50s, from the 60s, we've been looked at in the same limelight as used car salesmen and lawyers.
And competitive. I mean, like, we're in total competition with each other.
That's right. But that we are held to a higher standard. We're supposed to be held to a higher standard, and we need to hit it. And our culture is to show people that we are more than that. If we worry about them, everything else takes care of itself.
It's so true. And the value that we bring to the table for our clients, and it just goes to show. And this is what I've always said, is that people get to choose who they work with. And so, you know, there's personalities that just don't work with people. And so I think people are attracted to who we are authentically.
And I have, we have, I should say, three new agents right now.
Yes.
Who are hungry, are doing great. They're out there, they're doing it. But it's so important to our culture, and from the very start, that they know they're not out there on an island.
Right.
Because this happens with so many agents, and then it burns them out because they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have no one to turn to. They're never out there on an island. I spend most of my day talking to them about what's going on and what they're going through. And I think it's important that they feel they have that backup, because if they know I've looked over every form that they're putting out so they know it's correct, which we should, because it's our liability.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still our brokerage that's on there. It's not them individually.
And we do have the amazing Diane
who
does wonderful jobs with, you know, seeing that all the T's are crossed as well and the I's are dotted.
Diane cracks the whip when she needs to.
Well, she cracks the whip on us too. Don't get fooled.
Yeah.
Keeping those transactions moving.
That's right. And
we love you, Diane.
It does us so much good to have in-house auditing like that. And of course, just like you said, I miss stuff all the time. You miss stuff all the time. That is the nature of our business. It's impossible to be perfect. And you've got to have a second set of eyes or a second outlet on it. When you're a new agent like they are, I want them to know that I don't care what it is or what you call me. Absolutely. If it's a 2-minute conversation, it's a 2-minute conversation.
Right.
If it's something we've got to get down at and say, okay, let's get together and fix it.
Yeah.
And that's a different thing.
Absolutely.
But I want them to know, I want to empower them to be successful.
And I definitely feel that when I am in the office, I definitely feel that they know you're there supporting them. And, you know, I continue to, I'm on all the group text messages and I, you know what I mean? And we're all feeding into all of that. And I talk with individuals, routinely, you know, and they're very happy. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, and we're a family.
Yeah.
We've done our continuing ed together.
Yeah, you guys did that yesterday.
Together as a whole. And, you know, we're able to go through each class together. We enjoy it. We have a full-on luncheon. Everybody brings different stuff. I love our culture because we are a culture of family. But I think when you're getting to the difference from agent to broker, it breaks down to the individual and the individual focus to the whole, and to the whole as a focus. It's not me anymore. It's not me that my goals deal with success. It's the whole in the success that we build and what we keep building.
Well, and when they can buy into the idea, you know, of wanting to be a part of that, then you've won. Because they want to be a part of building something bigger as well. So let me ask you this, you know, because you go from an agent to a broker and then to a managing broker. How was that transition from a broker to a managing broker, knowing that you are now the leader, the one in charge, the one that, you know, Did you feel like right away everybody just totally respected you, or how did that feel? And what were the transitions, or was there anything that you felt like you had to do
right
to earn that?
Honestly, everybody's built different, of course. You said this one time when we were together, and you're absolutely right, but I was like, I wanted it. I wanted to know that, okay, it's going to be on my shoulders. I was ready for it. Mm-hmm. I wanted it. And so for me, it was an easy transition because I was like, yes, this is the responsibility that I wanted.
Right.
This is where I wanted to know that they could rely on me being.
Right.
And so it was easier to that point because it wasn't anything I ever was shying away from.
Sure, sure.
And you know, of course, with Diane and I are a team from day to day everything.
Right.
And, you know, she's our office administrator and she does so many other things behind the scenes that she keeps us moving. And when you have someone like that that you can rely on with it, it really does lessen the load. And I have an outlet too.
Right.
If we have a situation with an agent when it comes to a loop or when it right. comes to the contractual side of things, I have an outlet right there to help me fix what we've got going.
Sure.
And reinforce it.
Right. I will have to say, you know, when it comes to Diane, they don't make people like Diane.
No, it's true.
I hate to say it that way, but it's
true.
It is. I mean, just the not just the loyalty that goes with Diane, but just who she is as a person, you know, and just, you know, I don't know. She's been a lovely person.
Diane, you can't retire.
And I, yeah, I need a Diane.
Yes, yes. Because it's true with you know the changing that we've done, your Diane's became my Diane.
I know.
And I don't want to lose my Diane. Diane. That's
sorry,
right.
For sure.
That's right.
But it's just so hard because and I will say that we do attract, you know, people.
That's
you know?
Right.
So I do feel like, you know, we attract. And so I just need to get that attraction in Arkansas, kind of person, you know, in Arkansas.
That'd be great.
So anyway, so let me ask you this. How has being the broker affected your career path, you know, and your personal goals and the things in your life? How has it affected it in a good or a bad way?
That's a great question. I think it's absolutely in a good way. But one thing that it's allowed me to see is I wanted to keep building. I wanted to keep becoming something more. You know, as we've done property management from the brokerage and we take care of other people's properties and we do so much of that, I decided it was time for me to do it on my own.
Right.
And so I've put investment into owning my own properties, into right. branching out in that way and property managing my own places. I put more things under contract and I do more changes like that because I feel in what I've become and what I'm always trying to build, I can do this till I'm 70 and be absolutely happy
right.
in life.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's been a change like, oh, well, I just do this less.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put in the hours, but it's not because I'm being forced to be there. It's because right. I need to be there.
Yeah. And you
and
enjoy
so,
it.
In absolutely. That, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I can't take an hour and a half window and go play 9 holes of golf and then go straight back to the office and everything's
you
still
play in
there.
Every golf tournament, by the way.
I am going to buy into every golf tournament that has a good cause, and yeah. we are going to sponsor it. Yeah. That's what I love to do.
Nice.
Did you guys hear that? He's going to sponsor every golf tournament.
So that's right.
You
know, they have a good cause.
Scott@actionsold.com.
That's right. But they have to have a good cause.
That's right.
We don't buy into the golf tournaments that are just for the cash.
Well, I think we've had an awesome conversation today. Scott, thank you so much for being on the program.
It is my pleasure.
We are going to go into the book that I have for the week. So I have a book every week. And I think I came up with a really good one compared to the title today. So the book is The Vision-Driven Leader by Michael Hyatt. It is a guide for leaders to show and articulate their vision for the business and help align their team in doing so. And so it was a really awesome book, and I highly encourage you guys to go out and check it out.
I don't
think I've read that one.
It's a great one. Yeah, okay. It's a really good one.
And I like its focus because we're all about the idea of your vision and manifestation.
Yeah.
It is a real thing. It works.
We have vision boards, don't we?
That's right.
That's right.
You've got to have that mindset.
And being able to articulate that to your team, you know, and that book really was a good guide for that. So, Scott, we have a little bit of surprise for each of our guests.
Oh, boy.
And okay. So what we do is a lightning round at the end to get to know you just a little bit more.
What? Okay.
You know, okay. So...
On a different surface.
That's right.
For Jacob.
So these are just quick answers.
Okay, I'm zoning in here.
We've got a few
zoning
of them throwing at you here.
Okay.
Celebrity crush. Do you have a celebrity crush, and who is it?
In my early years, it was Alyssa Milano.
Ooh, I heard that. Boy, you're dating yourself. Yep.
Yes, it was Alyssa Milano. And that that was it for many, many years.
Okay. All right. And now it's Angie Ties.
Yeah. That's right. That's
right. Yeah, I really don't have one.
Favorite movie of all time?
The Matrix.
Ooh, okay. Oh.
The first Matrix. I love it.
Okay. If you could eat any one food for the rest of your life, barring gaining weight, losing weight, what would it be?
It would either be for a meal, any type of shrimp. I love shrimp, everything. But since I just had Diane's cherry cheesecake, it's cherry cheesecake with graham cracker crust.
Oh,
because
Diane,
there's nothing better.
Diane brings in some of the
absolute best cook.
And cherry cheesecake is my all-time go-to.
Cooking for us is like she enjoys it.
Oh, you guys,
they're
so good.
But she brings stuff in every week.
Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
I think it's because of where my family's at, and it would be Burien, which is next to Seattle.
Okay.
In Burien, Washington.
Yeah. I've never been that part of the country, but I bet it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I wouldn't want to live there. The traffic is ridiculous.
That you enjoy visiting.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Biggest mentor professionally. Do you have somebody in mind?
Absolutely. It is Jennifer Fries. And it's not even close.
That's so sweet.
She is. And that goes all the way back to, you know, the culture that I knew, the reason we knew that our partnership was not just going to work, but was just a match made in heaven, was everything aligned with our virtues. What we know is most important: God, family, and then our career. And we both hold those in the same regard and always did. And everything I am is because of that woman.
That's great.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, you know, that's why we made had such a great relationship, you know, from the beginning. It makes decision making so easy.
That's right.
You know, decisions aren't difficult.
I mean, technically we're in the lightning round here, so we're not mushy here.
Okay, go on.
All right. So this one's going to be a good one for you. Favorite band of all time? Because you're a huge musician, so.
Absolutely.
So what's
And it's going to surprise people because I am a metalhead.
Okay.
But my favorite band of all time is Shinedown.
I don't know that I've ever heard of them.
Shinedown is an incredible game.
Okay.
Incredible band. And if you were going to my early years, it's Skid Row.
Okay, there you go.
When I was Skid Row was it for many, many years.
Nice. Okay, last one. Biggest pet peeve.
Ooh.
He's so patient.
Ooh.
So
mine is that you never say that you know someone, like you know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to be. If you love someone, just say that you're going to spend the rest of your time getting to know them. Because those surprises hurt sometimes. So for me, it's understanding that people can change. People can be who they are. and you don't have to worry about the way it makes you feel. So my pet peeve is that, not saying, oh, I know that, I know her, I know him, I know. No, I just want to always be getting to know you.
Awesome. I really like that.
Always stay in that mode of just.
That's right.
Keeping that relationship. Discovery. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And being able to let someone know they're allowed to change.
Right. Oh, I love that, Scott. That's awesome. See, that's one thing I didn't know about you. Yeah, so I love it.
That's great. Well, thank you, Scott, so much for being on. You know, we should have you on again sometime.
Absolutely. I would be honored.
That would be great. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you being here.
You bet.
So we're going to wrap it up today. Where can you connect with us? Well, on social media, the Real Estate Experts Podcast. You can also find us on YouTube, the Real Estate Experts Podcast channel, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.